Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us.
Matthew chapter 24. Again, I don't have my screen up here behind me, so you're going to have to work extra hard at paying attention this morning. I'm sure that you'll be able to do that. But we're in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to, again, cover another good section of Scripture here. We looked last week at the coming of Jesus, the second coming, as it was prophesied of in the first half of Matthew 24. And now we're going to get into the second part, which is the application of that. How should we live in light of that? And so we'll just start reading in verse number 36 and read down to verse number 42, but we're going to cover a larger section than that. But let's start in Matthew 24 and verse number 36. So Jesus says, speaking of his coming, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son. So shall also the coming, of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." You know, I was thinking as I was preparing for this message, over the last, 20, 25 years, there have been just a large number of devastating events, news stories that really grip your attention. Well, I'm sure you can probably think of some that have taken place in the last 20, 25 years. For example, I still remember exactly what I was doing and where I was and who I was speaking to. I remember all of that back on September 11, 2001 in the morning. You probably do too. Exactly. You probably remember exactly where you were when those planes hit those towers in New York City and caused the death of almost just over 3,000 people. I'm sure you remember exactly those events in your minds. Or maybe you remember the event on February 1st in 2003 when the space shuttle Columbia disintegrated as it was trying to enter back into Earth's atmosphere over Texas, killing all 7 astronauts on board. I remember the NASA administrator, Sean O'Keefe, confirming that the shuttle broke up upon re-entry into our atmosphere, and described the crew as having done their jobs brilliantly. But then he said in a broken voice, he said, "The loss of this valued crew is something we will never get over." Maybe you remember that event. Or maybe more recently, you've seen in the news over the last couple of weeks the just horrific flooding that's taken place in Texas, and the amount of people that lost their lives in those floods, including 27 girls from and staff and counselors from a Christian camp there in Texas. And there's so many more that we can think of. There's so many different things, horrendous, really heart-rending events that have happened. And as we think of these horrific events, they strike home to us in a very dramatic way that life is fragile. Life is fleeting. Right? That in one single moment, everything can be lost. Everything gone. And there's these reminders to us all throughout history that life is brief. Life is fragile. And whether now, or tomorrow, or next year, or in the next 50 years, wherever that might be, life as we know it is going to come to an end. There will be a final date on our life for every single one of us, whether whether that's in death or in Christ's return. Life is fleeting, and the reality is this, and these events remind us of this, that none of us have any idea when the end of our life is going to be. It could be any moment. It could be any time. It could be today. It could be in 50 years. And really, that's the message of the Olivet Discourse in a nutshell. That life as we know it will come to an end. All of history is coming together in this final climactic moment where Jesus returns and the message is saying to us, listen, that moment could be today, that it may be sooner than we think, so be prepared for it. That's the message of the Olivet Discourse. One of the commentators that I often read, his name is Michael Wilkins, he mentions this motto that he has, and I think really reflects the reality of Christ's return with the responsibility of the believer in light of that return. And his motto is this. He said this is what he's tried to make his life motto. Live as though Jesus is coming back today, but plan as though he's not coming back for 100 years. That's his motto. I like that. I think that's good. Live like Jesus could come back today, but plan like it's not for another 100 years. Last week, our message in Matthew 24 was a little more theological. We tried to follow the timeline through the church age, the first century, up unto the second coming of Christ. But I want us to remember this as we begin today, that these eschatological events, these timelines, these things they're not given to us. They weren't given to the disciples so that they would focus on the specifics, the exact dates, all of the specific details, and argue over that information. That's not why it was given to them. That's not why we have this timeline. These theological differences, Jesus gave us these things, remember, so that we would be motivated today to godly, holy Christian living. That's why he gave it to us. That they would get on with the mission of Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it's the same for us. It's given us so that we would be motivated to godly living and live the way that Jesus called us to live. I don't want us to get so caught up in the details that we forget that Matthew 24 and 25, and really any prophetic passage, is given to us to motivate us to be prepared and also to motivate us to invest our lives into the kingdom and the work of Christ. That's why we have this. So Matthew 24, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 through 35, are theological in nature. And they are. Then our passage here from verse 36 all the way down to the end of 25, we won't get all of that in today, but all of that is application. Jesus already answered the disciples' questions. When are these things going to happen? What is going to be the sign of the end of the age? How do we know when you are coming? And Jesus gave them some generalities, some things to look for. But now Jesus says in this passage that we're going to start looking at today, I've told you what to look for. Now I'm going to tell you how you ought to live as you look for my coming. How you ought to behave while you wait. Friends, the question to us this morning is that. How do we live in light of Christ's coming? We know that life is short. We know that life is fragile and fleeting. James tells us that, doesn't he? That our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is short. It is fleeting. We know that. We know that Jesus is coming back. He said he would. It is sure he is coming. So how should we live in light of that coming of Christ? How should we behave ourselves while we wait? Jesus is going to give us four parables. And all of these parables are similar in nature. They're all talking about the return of Christ. but they're all different in that they all, each one points to a different behavior, a different attitude, a different characteristic that should be characteristic of us as we wait. Characteristic of the believer who is looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But just before we get into the parables, it starts really in verse 43. Notice we read it just a second ago, verse 36 through 42. Jesus gives us in these verses, it's really a continuation of what he's been saying in verse 35. It's hard sometimes when you take these passages to break them up into smaller pieces because it's one continual flow. It's one thought that's going through. And so verse 36 is just a continuation, but he gives us here in these verses a principle that will guide, I think it'll guide our understanding of these next few parables as he gives them to us. And the principle is this, that he gives us. Even though Jesus said he is coming back, and all of these signs are characteristic of his coming, and we see these signs taking place, the reality is nobody actually knows the moment of his return. Not us, not the angels. Jesus says, hey, not even me myself. As he limited his deity, even he didn't know. He said, only the Father knows the day or the hour of that return. Nobody else knows. And then he gives us a picture of that. He says it's just like an illustration of that truth. He said it's just like the days of Noah. Now, you know this morning what the days of Noah were like. Genesis tells us that in the days of Noah, everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Right? The hearts of men were wicked. They did evil continually. They were eating and drinking and given in marriage. It was a time of moral decay. It was a time of great wickedness. It was a time of great corruption. And by the way, that's very symbolic of the day and age that we live in today, isn't it? But I don't think that's the point. The point is not the wickedness of the day, although it is there. That is a picture. The point that Jesus is making in giving us this illustration is this. Even though for over 100 years, the people watched Noah build the ark and they listened to him preach righteousness for so many years, even though he tried to prepare them that judgment was coming, they still weren't ready for it. They still weren't prepared. It still caught them off guard. They were still surprised by it. In fact, Noah tried to warn them for over 100 years and they could really care less. They were totally apathetic to the message. It wasn't necessarily that they were sinful, though they were. The point that Jesus is making here is that they were totally unprepared. Unlike Noah. Can you imagine Noah preparing, preaching, and building for over 100 years? Noah was saved on that ark because of his preparation. Listen, the people had all the information they needed, and yet they still weren't ready for it. They were still swept away by the flood. And Jesus says, listen, when I come, it's going to be like this. He says in verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Jesus says, that's exactly what it's going to be like when I come. There's a lot of disagreement on these verses. Some people think they speak to the rapture. I don't think that that's the context here. I think they're speaking of Jesus's the second coming, and those that are taken, just like in the days of Noah, are taken unto judgment, and those that are left enter into the millennial period, that reign of Christ, the righteous reign. But regardless, the thought is this, This principle covers these next couple of parables. Really, there's two things. First of all, there's a suddenness to his coming. Right? The world says peace and safety, and then destruction comes. The day and the hour, yes, we don't know them, but it could be any moment. Speaking of his rapture. But then there's also number two, the idea of preparedness. Whether we are experiencing peace or we are experiencing trouble, we need to understand that both of those are going to come. But regardless of whether we're in a time of peace or in a time of trouble, we must be prepared for the Lord's coming. That's exactly what happened in Noah's day. People heard the warnings. They saw the ark being built, but they got so used to the idea of judgment without actually believing it would come. They were too busy, too distracted, too apathetic, too cynical to care until the rain started falling and the door was shut and it was too late. And Jesus' warning here in these parables to us is this: don't ignore the signs. Here's all the signs in verse 1 through 35. Don't ignore them. Don't be apathetic to it. Don't miss this. Judgment is real. Judgment is coming. Jesus is coming. And the only safe response is to live prepared today, to be prepared for it. So how do we prepare? Well, that's why Jesus gives us these next four parables. And we're only going to get through two of them today. We'll look at the next two of them and finish up chapter 25 next week. But he gives us these four parables, and each one has the same event in view, but a different aspect of the waiting and the preparedness. So let's look at them. First of all, Jesus tells us to be responsible. To be responsible. He starts in verse 43. We'll read down to verse 51. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not ware of, and shall cut him asunder, the point of his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Really, this parable is two parables in one. Jesus gives us two pictures here. He starts in verse 43 of another illustration that simply echoes what he just said. And the idea of this, if a homeowner knew the exact hour that a thief was going to break into his house, he would be ready for him, wouldn't he? He'd be ready, he'd be watching, he'd be prepared. He wouldn't let it happen. Have you ever had something stolen from you? Wouldn't it have been nice to know the exact moment that somebody was going to do that? If you could have known that, then you would have been prepared and locked it up or did what you needed to keep that from being stolen. But a thief doesn't come like that. You never know when a thief is going to come. So the point that Jesus is making, the point of this illustration, is you always have to be prepared. Jesus is saying, you know that I'm coming. You don't know when it is. So be prepared. Act diligently. Watch diligently. It's not just sitting around and waiting to see what will happen next. It means that we are living prepared like it could happen at any moment. Most of you know that I have a number of cats at home. Some of you are cat people too. And we actually have three more little baby cats at home, little kittens. And they're pretty cute. But we got all sorts. If anyone wants a kitten, just so you know. Oh, my kids are saying no. Okay. I shouldn't get in trouble up here. We have cats. And the funny thing about cats is they're similar to dogs in some way, but totally different in other ways. They're similar in this way, that my cats will watch out the window when they're aware of everything that goes on in the house, right? They're looking out the windows. They're walking around the house. Well, if they're not sleeping, they're awake. They're looking. They're aware of what's happening. They're watching the house. They notice anything that goes on, but the difference is they're totally apathetic to anything that actually happens. Like if somebody were to break into my house, my cats would probably just go up to them and rub against their leg and then go downstairs. They would do nothing about it. The dogs will watch the house. The dog will watch the house. If somebody comes in, at least she'll bark before she runs away. Like she'll try to do something, but the cats are totally apathetic. They see it, but they don't really care. And the idea here is that we watch and we wait and we're aware of his coming, but it's not just an inactive, passive waiting. It's a preparedness. It's we're watching and we're waiting and we're looking for Jesus' return so that we can meet him with peace and confidence. We're ready for him to come. That's the idea. Look at verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household? Jesus gives us the illustration of two servants. The first servant is the wise servant. He is the faithful servant. And this servant, both servants actually, are put in a place of authority, a place of responsibility in the household. He's given the responsibility to oversee not just the master's possessions, but also the other servants. His job is to be responsible until the master comes, to care for others, to manage the responsibilities. And this servant is called wise, he's called faithful, because that's exactly what he does. The master goes away for an extended period of time, and the servant is faithful. He watches. Even when nobody is watching him, he is still faithful, he's obedient, he does what's required of him. And when the master returns and he finds him being a faithful servant, he gives him more responsibility. He blesses him. That's the wise servant, the faithful servant. But then there's also another servant, and that is, Jesus calls him the evil servant. The unwise, the unfaithful servant, who again is given that place of responsibility. The master goes away for a time, and that evil servant, after a time, the master's been gone for a long time now, he begins to think to himself, you know, maybe he's not actually coming back. He's been gone for a long time. And Jesus said that this servant begins to beat his fellow servants and live wickedly, eating and drinking with drunkards. And just like the people of the days of Noah, he is totally unprepared for the coming of the master. And when the master comes back and finds him being unwise and unfaithful, that servant is severely punished, judged. Jesus said that he is placed with the hypocrites. I find that interesting. That's one of the words that Jesus, that's one of Jesus' favorite expressions for sinners who put on external righteousness to mask their wicked heart. Jesus says he found his place with those hypocrites. This false disciple, the servant, finds out that a delay in judgment is not the absence of judgment. The master was coming back. Listen, one of the ways that we can demonstrate that we are prepared for the coming of the King is to live in a way that is responsible while we wait. The way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we treat others, the way that we live demonstrates what kind of servant we are. You know, it's interesting that the character of both of these servants was revealed when the master left. They both were faithful servants when the master was there, but as soon as the master left, their character was revealed. You know, I remember being in school, and there were two types of people when the teacher left the room, especially if it was a substitute teacher. There's two types of people that the teacher would leave, and there was one group that would just keep reading and studying and doing their work and being diligent, and probably by far that was the minority. right? But there were some that would just continue to be diligent when the teacher was gone. But then there was the other group. And as soon as that teacher walked out that door, they would start to goof off, right? And they'd talk to each other and they'd get up and they'd start running around the class and maybe throwing paper airplanes or shooting spitballs. I don't know if kids do that anymore. But again, I'm giving all sorts of bad ideas up here. But there's those two different groups of people. I'll let you guess which one of those I was in. The studious one, of course. But then the teacher would return. And they didn't know when the teacher was coming back. But when that teacher came back and walked back in that room, suddenly those that were studying and reading and being responsible were totally prepared for him to come back, or her. Right? They could keep on going like nothing happened, with a clear conscience, unashamed of the teacher's coming. But then the other group, that teacher would come back in the room, and they were caught, and they were punished. And I had to put my head down on my desk. No, they had to put their head down on their desk through recess because they were caught unprepared. Right? Jesus in his parable is saying, listen, be prepared. Be ready. Stay faithful. I am coming back, and the reward of that will be worth it. Yes, it may be a long wait, but I am coming, so live like I could come back at any time. And the question simply is this, as we contemplate this parable, are you living every day like this could be the day that Jesus is coming back? Are you living that way every day? Are you being faithful in your relationships, in your work, in your ministry, in purity? You know, this wise servant wasn't rewarded because of one heroic act. He was rewarded because he constantly obeyed and was faithful over a long period of time. And when the master came back, he found him being faithful and obedient, and then he was rewarded. Listen, can I ask you this? And this I'll ask myself as well. Do you live in a way, I mean, Monday to Sunday, each day of the week, do you live in a way that you will be unembarrassed and unashamed at the time of his coming? I don't know when he's coming back, but it could be today. So be prepared. Be responsible. Live like that could happen. So be responsible. Here's the second one, and we'll go through this quickly. But Jesus says, secondly, the second parable, be ready. Be ready. In verse 20, chapter 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This second parable takes place around a wedding. And the wedding, the customs and practices of weddings in that day and age are different than what we experience, what we may be used to today. In this Jewish marriage custom, a groom would leave his parents' house with a number of his friends and make his way to the home of the bride where the ceremonies would be carried out. But this was a long and drawn-out event. This could last for days, maybe even a week or more. And after the ceremony was finished, an entire wedding party would form a processional to a wedding banquet that was held at the house of the bridegroom, a wedding feast that was often held at night. And part of this custom was the groom coming to get the bride along with the bridesmaids. They would carry lamps with them to light the streets along the way. Everybody was invited. Everybody expected the bridegroom to come. They just didn't know when he was coming. But Jesus tells us there's a difference here in the bridesmaids. There's five that were wise and five that were foolish. All 10 were dressed for the wedding. All 10 had lamps. All 10 expected the bridegroom to come, but only 5 of them were actually ready and prepared with what they needed with the oil in their lamps. And as the parable plays out, the coming of the groom is delayed and all of them fall asleep. And there's nothing wrong with them falling asleep. I think that speaks to the extended period of time before Jesus comes. But at midnight, the cry rings out, "The bridegroom is coming, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him." And they wake up from their sleep and they grab their things, and the foolish bridesmaids realize that while they were waiting, while they were sleeping, the oil ran out in their lamps. They have no more oil. They can't light their lamps. So they ask the other bridesmaids, "Give me some of your oil." And the other bridesmaids say, "If I give you mine, then I won't have enough for yourself. So go to the place where they sell it. Go and buy some oil for yourself." So they go off to buy the oil, and as they're gone, the groom comes and takes the party away. They get back with oil, and they realize the wedding party's not there anymore. So they go, they make their way to the wedding feast, but there they find that the door is shut. They say, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." And some of the saddest words in the Bible follow, where he says, "I don't know you. Go away." I think there's really two pictures, just quickly, in this parable when we consider the coming of Christ. The first, and probably the most obvious picture in this parable, is the picture of the oil. Many commentators see this oil as being symbolic of the Holy Spirit, of his work in salvation. And so I think the oil represents a genuine readiness. And the fact is this, that some were ready to enter into the wedding feast and went in, and others weren't ready, and the door was shut to them. Listen, I don't think I can give you a greater warning than this. That at the end of your life, we talked at the very beginning how fragile, how brief life is. But the warning in this parable is this: at the end of your life, whether it's by death or the coming of Christ, at the end of your life, it'll be too late to get ready. Once the groom came and left, the time to prepare was over. There was no more time. Listen, we have to be prepared to meet Jesus now. That's what the parable's saying to us. There are so many people today that think, "Listen, I have my whole life in front of me. I have so much time." They feel, especially younger people, they feel invincible, right? They feel like they have their whole life ahead of them. They live like they believe that they'll have plenty of time to get their life straightened out down the road. Friends, one of the greatest lessons I think we learn from maturity is that our life is not our own, and it could be taken at any time, any moment. Life is brief. It's fleeting. And now is the time to be prepared. Not when it's too late. Now is the time to have the oil ready. Now is the time to be prepared to meet Jesus. And listen, Jesus has just finished teaching us that appearance is not enough, right? Outward transformation won't save you. The oil in the lamp. It's not church attendance. It's not looking spiritual. It's not even sincerity. Only a real relationship with Christ, faith in Him. That's the thing that prepares us for eternity. So the question this morning is this: are you prepared? Listen, if Jesus were to come today, or your life was required of you today, would you be confident in your preparation? Would you be ready to meet Jesus? Or like the foolish bridesmaids, would you be unprepared and be cast out, the door shut? By the way, you can't borrow your friend's oil. You can't borrow somebody else's faith. Your parents' walk with God can't save you. It has to be yours. It has to be personal. You can't borrow salvation. It must be yours. The only way to have that, again, is to fully trust in the finished work of Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. It's coming for you. That's the way to be ready. So this parable tells us, be ready. The second thought, I think, is to believers. And is this: just because we're prepared spiritually, just because we're saved, doesn't mean we're ready. What I mean by that is this: we're ready. We'll be unashamed at the coming of Christ when our relationships with God and our relationships with others are what they're supposed to be. We're ready when at any moment of the day, in any place, wherever we are, whatever conversation we're in, that we would be unashamed to have the Lord meet us. I wonder if the Lord came on a Tuesday morning when you were at work, if you'd be ready for it. I wonder if the Lord came on a Friday night at home by yourself, would you be ready for it? Maybe you're saved, but you're distracted. This parable tells us it's time to wake up, to keep our lamp burning bright, to focus our hearts and our minds, to be ready, because Jesus is coming again. Let me just give you this as we close. What if you knew that today was your last day? What if you knew that? These were your last moments. Sometimes we look back on our life, and I do this from time to time. I look back on my life and I say something like this: if only. Anyone else do that? If only I'd done this. If only I'd done that. If only I'd made that relationship right. If only I'd lived this way. If only I hadn't wasted all those years. If only, if only, if only. We look back. Reality is this: the more we take care of those if onlys today, the more prepared we're going to be to meet Jesus. The question is, are you prepared? Are you ready? Let me ask you this morning as we close. Are you living like Jesus is coming back today? Because one of these days, it will be that day. One of these days, He will. That's not speculation. That's a promise. He said it. And whether it's today or tomorrow or 100 years from today, we're one day closer to the coming of Christ. Listen, Jesus, He didn't give us these parables to stir up debate. He gave them us these parables to stir up our hearts. And He's calling us to live ready, to be responsible, to be faithful. And friends, to make sure that you truly know Him and you are ready to meet Him. Don't waste your time chasing things that don't matter in the end. Don't assume that you have more time. Be prepared. Be watchful. Live with purpose, because just like the ark, the door won't stay open forever. It's open now. There's grace available. But that grace isn't going to last forever. So let's be a people that are living like Jesus is coming soon, because He is.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of His Word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.